Hearing voices?
I'm hearing voices.
You're listening to Hearing Voices with Scott Watson.
Well, given my personal history, today's show may seem highly unlikely. And this morning on Hearing Voices with Scott Watson, we visit with Catherine Coldstream. The book is Cloistered. Catherine, tell me about the decision to enter and then to leave a fairly restrictive religious order.
Hello there. Yes. Well, my decision to enter the Carmelite order and a very cloistered branch of it, I think it came out of a time of very deep grieving and difficulty in my early 20s when my father died. And I think losing my dad at a particular point that was already a difficult time in my life really triggered a really sort of deep search. And I really just got into it in a radical way. I was trying out different churches, reading lots of different sort of books about different versions of Christianity. And I wanted to get to the bottom of it. And I thought the best way was to just immerse myself in prayer and dedicate my life and go for it. So that's how I got into that way of life.
Somewhere along the way, I would imagine in your readings, you encountered Teresa of Avila, kind of the patron saint, if you will, of contemplative theology. For those that don't know about contemplative theology, what would you tell them?
Oh, wow. Well, if you're talking about Teresa of Avila and her namesake, Therese of Lisieux, who's also a very influential Carmelite who lived a bit later in France, I think they come out of the desert monastic tradition, which is one about silent prayer, and it's to do with being receptive in contemplative prayer. So Teresa of Avila said that prayer was really just a conversation with someone we know who loves us. So it's sitting quietly and having a homely conversation with your best friend or your spouse in the case of a Carmelite. That's what the contemplative life really boiled down to for us as nuns.
You're listening to Hearing Voices with Scott Watson. We visit with Catherine Coldstream. Her new book is Cloistered, and it details her decision to enter and then leave the Carmelite monastery. I want to ask, when you're cloistered, by definition, you are away from the world. Were you also unaware of the comings and goings, the changing within the Catholic Church, and specifically the priest sex abuse scandal?
The priest sex abuse scandal, I heard very little about, because you see, all the news from the outside was filtered through to us by the Reverend Mother. We called her the prioress. So we didn't get regular newspapers. We didn't see any newspapers except very conservative Catholic magazines. And we didn't have radio or television. And we literally didn't go out. We were really completely cut off. So the main channels for news from the outside world were letters we received from our family or friends, which were quite rare, you know, maybe once a month or so, and then visits from priests. And we heard very little about the scandals. What we did hear, we were always told, oh, it's such a pity these good priests were being accused by people who wanted, you know, to. It was. We heard a completely one-sided view of it. And then general news, there was a lot we didn't know about that was going on in the world. But the really big things, and in the UK, the biggest thing that happened when I was inside was the death of Princess Diana. So she died in that terrible car crash. And we were told about that straight away by a priest who prayed for her that morning at Mass. But we were very, very sheltered indeed.
All of our shows are available at WHTC.com, and now you can check us out at HearingVoicesRadio.com. Happy to interact with you there, and as always, if you're polite, we promise to respond. We visit today with Catherine Coldstream. Her book is Cloistered. How did your view of the church change when you left the order?
Yes, that's a great question. I think I'd gone in feeling a wholehearted trust in the church in a kind of quite naive way. I mean, I was a convert to Catholicism, so there was a sort of mystique about Catholicism that I bought it wholesale. 12 years later, I was full of questions. And I think what I took away was a sense that I still loved the kind of spiritual heart of Catholicism, and I still wanted to keep delving into the theology to understand it better. But I did feel quite bruised by the actual hierarchy. Well, I don't mean the hierarchy as a sort of anonymous kind of body. I mean the specific kind of way things were done. I just no longer felt that complete trust or belief in the institutional side of it. And I felt that there was a mismatch, really, at times between the spiritual heart of Christianity and Catholicism and a life of prayer and the kind of politics and the heavy hand of authoritarianism. That, for me, was somewhat disillusioning, but not completely.
Final question for Catherine Coldstream this morning. How much culture shock was there when you returned to what I would call a normal life? And what's your life like now?
Well, I'm now married, but this has only been for the last 7 years. The biggest culture shock, well, the biggest shock was all the noise, which was a real change and which I found very difficult. Culture shock perhaps was the extent to which people went their own way all the time. You know, different people seemed to, there wasn't a common guiding philosophy that everybody adhered to. I found that the biggest thing, sort of, you know, conceptually, if you like, mentally, to deal with the fact that there was no sense of order or coherence to life. Everybody was just doing their own thing and often getting, you know, involved in arguments. And that was difficult for me to deal with.
I got through the interview without breaking out into a hot sweat. I'm proud of myself and I'm excited for you. Catherine Coldstream, thanks so much for the time today on Hearing Voices.
Well, thank you very much indeed. Have a great day. Bye-bye.